Okay. See you, Mike. Adios. All right. Will y'all humor me? Everybody nod. Would y'all get in the first three rows? Now you're worried. You don't know if you're going to humor me or not. Come on, first three rows. I know I'm stretching. Don't you hate it when people make you move out of your chairs? There's somebody. You love it? I do this. We have a Christian school. And just to get the kids out of their rut. Kathy says rut. I was going to say groove. I just say, I want that section to sit over there. I want that section to sit there. And it's like, they run into each other. It's like, it's havoc. It's terrible. But I think it does something for us. When we get out of our normal routine, it does something for us. And so, I don't know. You can either say, at the end of tonight, you can say, Tom, that helped. Or you can say, Tom, don't mess with my seat. Okay, either way. Okay, can I tell you what the definition of faith is? Thank you. Y'all are nice to me. The definition of faith is going to South Africa with Mike Johnson and driving 800 miles across some wild land with the tiniest little map that you can barely get in a convenience store, if you can find that, and get where you're supposed to go. That's faith. And I've done that three times with him. And I always sweat. But I think he must love adventure. Does he love adventure, Cheryl? I'm sorry.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Because I love to know where I'm going, how I'm getting there. I love for the route to be all marked. And, wow, Africa's different. Okay, we should just ask you. All right. Jesus is here with us because he lives inside y'all. And he's here through his Holy Spirit. And we just want to take a second to say, Holy Spirit, we love you. We really depend on you. And we want you to be honored and to work among us. We thank you, Lord. Thanks that you gave us another comforter. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I don't even remember what it's called anymore. What did they used to call those? The preachers who were always kind of doing the positive word kind of thing. Well, I believe there's truth in all those things. A positive confession. No, I'm going for positive confession. I'm not that kind of person, but that's what I want to talk to you about. Because we were at a conference in the fall. And have you ever read any books? Have you ever read Supernatural Ways of Royalty? Thank you for that. It's Chris Vallotton. Well, he made this statement. He was just speaking one of the evenings, and he made this statement. And I'm going to tell you his statement, and then you'll know the principle behind his statement, but maybe you would never have used the words he used. I never would have used the words he used. But I was really kind of encouraged to hear the way Pastor Mike prayed for the government and all of these prayer requests. And he really just made a lot of just positive. Now, we don't call them those things. Sometimes we call them declarations. You know, it's where you're speaking the word. But that's the topic that I want us to talk about tonight for a few minutes, and then I think we're going to pray together just as practice. I think I'm going to ask for some volunteers. But Chris Vallotton made, and I'm not certain, I don't remember the topic of his sermon or what he was specifically preaching on, but he made a statement that I grabbed hold of, and I wrote it down, and that was this. He said, grumbling and complaining is really negative intercession. And I went, whoa. Grumbling and complaining is really negative intercession. Now, let me ask a question here. Because if y'all are like me, you do some grumbling and you do some good, positive, you know, declaration and good stuff too. But the part that you can complain or do complain, this thought struck me after he said that. Why would we ever want to empower the thing that we're kind of grumpy against? Because if our words, now let's just talk about this for a few minutes, and would y'all help me, when I get to one spot here, I'm going to ask for help with some Bible verses, okay? As we talk about this for a few minutes, why would we want to empower the very thing that we're griping about? We don't want to empower that, do we? We actually are complaining about it because we want it to be done or over or finished or different, all right? But here's I think there's a root issue or a root principle that's under it all, and I think it's in the heart of God. It's just not real clearly laid out, because God sometimes gives us his principles and he just hides them and little things. You know, the Isaiah actually says, God, you're a God who hides, because he wants only those who are hungry to find him, even when you look in this book. And so, anyway, the point is, let's figure out how he wants us to deal with issues and the things that we are confronted with in life. All right, so why, we all know this, God doesn't like complaining, correct? Okay, so why doesn't he like complaining? Do you want to venture some answers? I'm just going to kind of make this give and take. It's not faith. Why does he not like grumbling and complaining? It doesn't reflect faith. Empowers the adversary. See, but I never thought about it like that. Did you? Did you think about it like that? I just thought, I'm complaining about a circumstance that I don't like. Okay? Well, if God made us in whose image? So, sometimes we would kind of question that. Because sometimes we'll think, God, wow, you're so beautiful. What happened to me? Okay? Sometimes we think like that, but we're made in his image. And if we're made in his image, then we reflect all kinds of aspects of his nature. And I want to suggest that this thing about the spoken word is just one part of the nature of his character that he wants to be reflected in us as well. And we know that, but sometimes we just have to be reminded that that's the way we're supposed to be walking, okay? So here we go. If we are fashioned, if God formed us and made us in his image, then let's say some things about God for just a second. Let's relate some things about the tongue or the power of our words. Now, we have heard sermons about the power of God's word, okay? So speaking God's word or the power of our tongue and our words, what are some of the first scriptures that come to your mind? Say what? Which says what? speak unto the mountain and tell it to be removed and cast into the sea. And the circumstance of your scripture that you're saying right there is when Jesus, what did he do to that fig tree? He cursed it, and then his disciples were just astounded. Master, the tree you cursed is all withered. And he used it as a teaching opportunity. I think that was his purpose anyway. Okay, what other scriptures are you thinking of about the power of our words? I'm fishing for a proverb. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. All right, so we know that verse. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Okay, I'm going to ask for some help looking up some scriptures, but let's just jump into Acts chapter 9 real quickly here, and I want to show you something. Acts chapter 9. You'll know the passage. Philip has just met up with the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he's been translated, and we go from chapter 8, and it jumps right into chapter 9, and it's picking up with Saul. And Saul, who was the one who oversaw the stoning of Stephen, the martyr Stephen? It was Saul, okay? So everybody laid their coat. I don't know exactly what that means, but they laid their coats at Saul's feet, and then here this guy gets stoned, Stephen. And so now we're jumping over to chapter 9, and look in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still, look at this, he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Okay, now I'm sharing this with you for a reason. Okay, what does that look like to breathe out murderous threats? Do you think words are actually being spoken? Maybe, maybe not. But what I'm getting at in using this, Saul was breathing out murderous threats. I'm suggesting to you that what comes out of our mouth, what is empowered by our spirit. Now remember, if we are fashioned in the image of God, when God spoke, what happened? It was, okay? And I'm saying that if we are created in his image, then there's something about us that is like him, that also when we say things, and when things are empowered by our spirit, that something happens, is what I'm suggesting. And so when I'm saying, why does God care what we say? Is it just so that we can just be religious and all these positive confessing people? I don't think that's the issue. I think that God knows that literally our words empower something. And so if our words are empowering something that is the will of God and the ways of God and the purpose of God, it's important. And conversely, if our words are tearing things down to God, that's important also, because he doesn't want those things to happen. Now, I was so impressed when Pastor Mike prayed for our government, because Proverbs 11 says something about by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of fools, it's torn down. Now, I don't know if you guys do this, but you probably get those kinds of emails that always joke about our president, or severely critique and criticize our president. But what I'm saying, and Pastor Mike, that was skillfully prayed. That's a good attitude that he showed us. So what I'm saying to us, you know how, and y'all have all said to your children, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything. All right? That's the principle. That's the point that I'm getting at here. So by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. What would it look like? I don't know how many Christians live in. What's the population of Pflugerville? 50,000. Okay. What would it look like if, and let's just say maybe half the population are believers. What would it look like if 25,000 believers all spoke blessing on Pflugerville, spoke revival on Pflugerville, spoke the Spirit of God on this? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see the power in 25,000 people saying the will of God and purpose of God? over this over this city. Now, what would it look like if 25,000 people in Pflugerville are all just critiquing government, critiquing the schools, critiquing the leaders, critiquing everything? Then it just results in division and tearing down. My premise here is our words are empowered by the spirit that drives them. If Saul was breathing out murderous threats. Now let's just say, what if he wasn't using words? What did that verse look like? Can I try to demonstrate it? That's what my wife looks like when she's mad at the kids. Just kidding. I am kidding. She didn't do that. But you see, breathing out murderous threats. What if words weren't being used? That's a curious term. The breathing word there, is, it's part of the family of pneuma. Pneuma is wind, breath, spirit, word. That's the Greek word for... Okay. Getting my point. All right. God with his words. Now, would y'all help me with these verses, please? I need somebody who'll do Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9. Who'll do that? Okay, right here, this lady in the red. Psalm 33, 6 and 9. You just hold on to those for a second. I need Genesis 2, 7. Who would mind doing that for me? Okay, this gentleman here. I need Acts 2, 2. Who will do that one? Okay, this lady here, Acts 2:2. I need 1 Timothy 3:16. This gentleman over here. And last of all, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. This lady right back here. All right, thanks for volunteering, y'all. Okay. If we are created in God's image, listen, now, you'll know these things, but I just want to look at them again quickly. All right. If we're created in his image, what happened when he spoke? Okay? When he spoke, and I don't know which lady it was who said, when he said, let there be, things were created. Okay, now can we have Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9? Now listen to this verse. Who's got, go ahead. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all its hosts by the breath of his mouth. Okay. It's interesting that the scripture there used word and breath. Okay, did we get 6 and 9? Okay. Or 6 and 9? Just do 6 and 9. Okay, all right. So obviously we know these things. So when God, he created, when he spoke, the heavens were created. Okay, secondly, so what happens when God spoke? Heavens were created. Okay, now I need Genesis 2:2. Who has that one? No, 2:7, sorry. Genesis 2:7. Okay. So when God spoke or breathed, the heavens were created. That was number one. When God spoke or breathed, then he breathed the breath of life into man. So now the heavens are created. Now man comes alive because he had formed Adam. And then he had to breathe on him the breath of life. Okay, the third scripture is Acts 2:2. Okay, you know that, Acts 2:2. So heavens are created by the breath of God. Then mankind, or Adam, is given life by the breath of God. Number three here is, the church is filled with the Spirit or given life by the breath of God. That's familiar to you. Okay, number four, do you have 1 Timothy 3:16? Maybe I gave you the wrong verse. Okay, forgive me for that. I'm looking for all scripture is inspired. Ah, okay. I wrote it down wrong. Okay. All scripture is God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. So now, the heavens are created, man is given life, the church is filled with the Spirit and given life. Now the scripture is all God-breathed. Now this is really interesting. The last one that we're doing here is 2 Thessalonians 2:8. I hope I have this one right. Ah, I must have that one wrong too. Okay, would you check out 1 Thessalonians 2:8 and see if I have that one? Maybe I mixed those two up. Kathy, did I mix that one? Uh-huh. 2 Thessalonians 2:8? 2 Thessalonians 2:8? Okay, the lawless one will be slain by the breath of his mouth. All right? I don't know what that looks like, but I just know God just goes, whew. Okay, I am suggesting to us that if we are created in his image, I am suggesting to us that the things that we say and speak and breathe matter. Because it mattered when he did it. And he is delegating authority. He says, here, I'm putting you on this earth. I want you to rule and have dominion and subdue this place. You see what he told Adam? All right, so I'm suggesting that the things that we say and breathe and speak matter. Are you catching that? Okay, now let's just take that. Now I just want to apply it for a few minutes. And then we will actually we're going to pray and practice this for a couple minutes, okay? So those are my suggestions. You've followed me this far. Okay, now would you just kind of flip back to the book of Numbers? And we're going to talk about this complaining and grumbling and murmuring because it is so prevalent in the Old Testament, and you'll see that God... It's not like God doesn't like grumpy kids. I don't think that's the issue. When I was in Nicaragua this past week, and I was with a missionary family, and they have three kids, and their only son, they have two daughters and a son, but his teenage son, there is one point, his mom's driving, she's driving in Nicaragua, he's riding in the other seat, we're in the back seats of the van, And she's doing just fine, but all he did is just complain about everything. I wanted to get out of the van. Now, I'm not just talking a bit about God being frustrated when his children are just grumpy and complaining. I am suggesting to us that it matters what we say. That's what I'm suggesting. Okay, let's go to Numbers chapter 11. Can I take a moment and just say this? Numbers 11, just hang in there. In 2 weeks, we'll bring a team. Pastor Mike and Cheryl, they will have a team also. We'll pair up our teams, and then we'll scatter out around the perimeter of the building here, and then we want everybody to get spoken over. Now, Pastor Mike, we've had this set up for a month or so, but me coming tonight was just like yesterday. Mike said, I'm having a grandbaby, could you come? I said, sure. Okay, it's my pleasure to come. All right, this is what I wanted to say. Can you record on your phones? Do y'all? So everybody just start. You got 2 weeks to learn it. All right? But bring your phone so that when you go to the different teams, you can record it. And the teams will just purposely just be speaking things over you. Some of it will just be pure encouragement. Some of it will be like people will be saying, you know, I really believe I see this, or I hear that, or I'm thinking this, or people who know you will actually say, you know what, about your character that is impressive or encouraging. So anyway, our objective that night is for everyone to get blessed and spoken over and encouraged, all right? And for those of you who want to, you can double dip. You know what double dipping means? You can go get multiple lines. But if you go get in multiple lines, you have to make sure that you're behind the people who haven't been spoken to at all. All right, you got that? So figure out how to get your phones to record. You have 2 weeks to get that done, all right? And Cheryl, would you remind them on a Sunday morning, figure out how to make your phone record. All right, Numbers 11. Here goes. Verse 1. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And when the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that the place was called Taberah, because the fire from the Lord had burned among them. All right, I'm just simply going to use that little passage there for just a moment, and I just want to talk about three areas that we do a little bit of complaint, hopefully not a lot of complaining, a little bit of complaining, and then I just want us to examine the roots of that. Okay? This first one here, my New American Standard says it like this: now the people complained because of adversity. How did I write that? The people became like those who complained of adversity. All right. Why do we complain sometimes? Hardship will cause us to complain. Just like the teenager in the van last week. If I'd have been smarter, I would have said to the, would you stop, and could he get out and walk? Okay, we don't want to be like those people who complain of adversity. Hardship, difficult circumstances that we go through, maybe in family, at work, whatever the difficult circumstances are, but sometimes those things will cause us to just, we're just griping. And I want to say it's normal. It's not supposed to be normal, but it is normal. And it's probably normal for every one of us to just kind of complain because it got rough. It's true. It is true. Okay, help me. Would you help me for a second? What would the root underneath that be? Fear. Okay. Not trusting God. Okay. Discomfort, definitely. Disappointment. Ooh, interesting. I didn't think of that one. Like, who's in control of things? Venting. Selfishness. Those are the roots, I think. Maybe we could think of some more, but those are the roots that are under. Could I just say, selfishness I thought of also. Could I just say, because you can ask my wife, I have had this problem. I still do, but I'm actually making good progress on it. It's called anger. that the root, you're talking about a root of bad mouthing? Okay. All right. I think we're going to get to that next, so hold on to that one. All right. Sometimes, if I ask my wife to testify about what I'm like, I don't explode in anger. I internally boil or seethe, S-E-E-T-H-E, with anger. And I think there's more people like me than... Is anybody in here like me? Okay, there's two of us, three of us, four. Okay. All right, the rest of y'all are good. Oh, the rest of you explode. Oh, that's what it is. We're the ones who, we see, then y'all blow up. Okay, all right. So, okay. I'm looking for the roots under the stuff. So if we're complaining, let's examine, well, what's the character issues underneath that needs to be touched by the finger of God? So for me to just say, thou shalt not complain. Well, it might be true, but are we really going to? For one thing, the law is right, but it never has the power to cause fruitfulness. Romans chapter 6 says that, and 7. It's right, it'll never pass away, but it also it's impotent. It's powerless. Or else the Bible says righteousness would have come by the law. But it couldn't do it, so God had to send Jesus. Okay, that's Romans 7. All right, he sent his son. Okay, so doesn't do any good for me to just be religious and stand up here and just say, we should not be complainers. Do you get that? Okay, we're religious. Now let's all go home. Okay, well, we all know that. We're not supposed to be complainers. But let's figure out what's underneath it. Let's figure out the whys behind it. Let's figure out how to get control over it. Okay, so we'll just move on. Those are the roots of this thing about those who complain because of adversity. Okay, let's go. Let's jump. I'm going to jump to number 16 and 17. And then we'll come back a couple of chapters. Chapters 16 and 17 are basically talking about Korah and Dathan and Abiram. I don't want to read the whole story, but they decided, how come Moses supposedly hears the Lord and gets to lead this people? We all hear God, and why do you set yourself up as the leader? And so they're complaining about Moses. Moses, he just falls down on his face and starts interceding multiple times. He does this for his people because he knows that, ooh, God doesn't like that. Okay, here we go. Now, I'm not just talking about complaining about authority. I'm talking about the words that empower something. And if we're speaking the negative thing about authority, why would we want to empower the thing that we're griping about? Do you hear what I'm saying? Therefore, we shouldn't be talking the negative ways. So now I know that we're dealing with authorities here, Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Let's just look here. Chapter 16, verse 11, it's against the Lord that you and all your followers have banded together. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him? So the issue here is complaining and grumbling. Now just let's skip over to verse 28. And Moses said, this is how you're going to know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things and that it was not my idea. If these men die a natural death and experience only what usually happens to men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them, then everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the grave, then you'll know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. Now they're griping it at Korah and Dathan and Abiram, but who is getting treated with contempt? The Lord. So may I just say, if we gripe about our president, the Lord is getting the contempt. Interesting thought. Okay, verse 41. So the ground opens up. The earth swallows Korah and Dathan and Abiram. however the story says, and the next day, then the whole Israelite, this is verse 41, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Okay, so finally the Lord says to Moses, we're in chapter 17, speak to the Israelites, get 12 staffs, one from each, the leader of each tribe. They put those 12 staffs into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and sure enough, the next day, Aaron's rod not only is budded, but it blossoms and bears fruit. Verse 10, chapter 17. Well, look, it says it sprouted, it budded, it blossomed, produced almonds. Verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, put back Aaron's staff in front of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me. I just think that's really interesting. They're grumbling. When we grumble against authority, we're complaining against God. Because the Bible says all authority is of Him and from Him. Now that's not the point of our talk tonight. But these are areas that we complain in. Now I know that those two chapters dealt with leadership and authority. Number one, we said we complain about hardship. I'm going to put a bigger category for number two. Number two, I want to put this category. We complain about, yes, leaders, but can I just add people to it? Just people. Now, what's the root under complaining against people? I mean, this gentleman said bad-mouthing. It's opposite of love. If you're complaining, let's just say at a family member, a spouse, a child, a distant family member, a friend, a co-worker, a boss, a neighbor. What are some of the roots that cause those complaining, those things? False expectations, okay? Fighting, jealousy. Maybe some pride and stuff. What about, let's just say, some genuine hurts and wounds and offenses happened? That's common. And when somebody has hurt you, don't you normally kind of tell people, they did that? You see what I'm saying? So the roots under that. So if you hear an out of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So if you find your mouth saying some things, then you got to figure out, I've got something wrong in the heart. All right, people. People, leadership and people. So those might be the roots. Kathy and I had to come to a place where we made the decision. We have four kids. We made the decision kids will stretch you no matter how many you have. Sometimes kids are fashioned to sharpen us, to rub off us our rough edges. But we had to decide about one of our sons. We have three sons and a daughter. We had to decide because he's stretched us. And he's been, we have had to pray a lot. Can I just say that? And can you just imagine, and we've had some huge disappointments. And such things that are common to many families, okay? But I'm just saying, so can you imagine the things that we would talk about or maybe complain about our situation or talk about the shortcomings or whatever was the object of our prayers or whatever? Can you see how a lot of conversation might have been on the negative side? And we had to specifically decided we will no longer talk about or say those negative things. We will only now speak those things that we are like Romans chapter 4, we'll call those things that are not as though they are. And so there's scriptures. And there's scriptures that God gave me when that specific son was born that I still call upon him today. That the spirit of Elijah would rest on him, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. One of Kathy's that she quotes all the time, that he will love righteousness and hate iniquity, therefore God will anoint him with the oil of joy beyond his companions. And so we just say that. He will love righteousness and hate iniquity, therefore God's going to just anoint him with the oil of joy. So we continually are saying these things. All right, now I think we're catching what the Lord is saying to us, that our words are creative. Now, I'm not just speaking against complaining. Now I'm trying to encourage us that in the ways of God, he is saying that our words matter. We're made in his image. And he's a creative being, a creative God. You're getting it. Last one, number three. We did adversity, other people and leaders. Now we're going to talk about the future. Okay. Now if we just, real quickly, I'm just going to show you the context of chapter 13 and 14, and you can go back and read it yourself. It's when the 12 spies have gone into the promised land. They come back. 10 spies say, oh my goodness, what's over there? Giants. Now they were carrying big old poles with grapes and fruit hanging on it. And the Israelites were pretty impressed by that. But they said, oh, but this, I don't know if they said Anakites or this, what does it say? Who lived over there? Anak lived over there, and we're like grasshoppers, and we certainly can't go in that land. They are giants. They are going to step on us. And so all of Israel starts to get this negative. Their negativity is contagious. All right, so these three major areas that we complain about adversity, we complain about people, which sometimes we do that because of hurts, wounds, offenses, and etc. We complain about people. And then number three, now we're complaining about the future, because here's a promise. The promise of God is that. But it looks like there's big giants over there. And so they, all right, so what's the root under that? And I don't know, somebody already touched on it. You called it fear, but use the U word. Unbelief. Do you think that God actually has our future in his hand? He really does. All right. Let's finish. I want to wrap it up. Okay, on the second one, the people one. I'm pretty certain y'all are like me. But I've had, my old pastor, his name was Papa Jack, he used to call them anointed enemies. I had someone that just, ooh. And this person has created a lot of harm. And a lot of wounds and offense happened. And in my own heart, not just like a swath of wounds. And so in my own heart, I do just like you. What do you do when somebody has been offensive? What's the right thing to do? Forgive. Okay. So do you ask me if, Tom, did you forgive? Yes, I did. Now ask me, Tom, did you forget? No. All right. Now, isn't it common that you can forgive and forgive over and over and over and over again, but you still feel those hurts and those things, and the thoughts still float to the top, and And here's the interesting thing. Every time I would go to the prayer room at church and start my routine of prayer, because I would usually walk circles in the prayer room, and as soon as I step into the prayer room where I'm supposed to be stepping into the presence of God, and all those thoughts would come back. And then I would just, and I'm talking about years, and I would just say, I would forgive again. I don't know how many times I'd forgiven. Hundreds, maybe. Because I just knew I am a forgiver. These thoughts would just flood in again. And I would just pace back and forth. And I'm just stepping in there. And all this was a Sunday morning before church. And I'm in the prayer room. And here all that stuff comes again, even after years. Now, this is just a few months ago I'm talking about. And so I'm getting inundated again with all this stuff in my mind, thoughts, angers, frustrations, wounds. There's a lot of broken lives laid out in this issue that I'm referring to. And stuff has happened. And all that stuff is just coming again. And of course, I'm always saying, I choose to be a forgiver. I will. And yet the thoughts still are just dropping on me. And after I'm walking and trying to deal with this for a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, in the prayer room by myself, finally I hear this voice out of all that. I hear this voice say, Tom, what are you going to do about that? And I go, oh, you mean I can do something about that? And so I just said, okay. I just started speaking to my thoughts. And I just started going, shut up. Shut up. I'm being nice with you right now. Can you imagine? I'm going, shut up. And I mean, I'm going on for minutes after minutes after minutes. Shut your mouth. I am tired of that. Shut up. Now I'm doing that. I'm by myself in the prayer room. Why not? And then all of a sudden, after a few minutes of just saying, all of a sudden, the voices are gone. My joy is returned. And I had a great prayer time and then went out there and went into church. And church was awesome. All because of my attitude. But my attitude improved when I did warfare against the adversary who's anointing the things that cause us to complain and grumble and to be unforgiving and all this stuff that I'm talking about. I'm suggesting that the adversary knows how to slip that stuff in on us is what I'm suggesting. But I'm just saying to us that we've got to learn how to deal with these things without just complaining and murmuring at the mistakes and the negativity that happens to us. I'm just saying, pull out your sword and let's sharpen it. Do you hear me? Because our words matter. You got it. Okay. 2 minutes left. We're done. I'm done. Is there anybody here who specifically would say, I really struggle with adversity? When circumstances get rough on me, I kind of like complain a little bit. Anybody like that? Don't everybody raise your hand. Anybody who just, that's one of your stumbling blocks, okay? What about, okay, number two is the people thing. The leaders are people. Well, who would just raise your hand and say, okay, you know, when I get grumpy, I'm usually complaining about somebody or something. You see what I'm saying? Somebody or maybe some things that they did or things that happened. Okay, who's the people complainer? Okay, a few. All right, the third one there. The promises, the future, believing God for what's your future. Anybody complain about those things? Anybody complain about all three? me to. This lady right here in the blonde hair. Anything that we can pray about? Now, I'm not asking for any embarrassing type stuff, but is there a significant person in your life or some that we can just together, we'll come around you, not physically or literally, but we will together, we will just speak some positive things over a person or an issue in your life. Okay? All right? You don't need to say another word. Can you help me? Is it appropriate for his first name to be spoken in this midst, or it's okay? Dirk. All right. Can we pray together over Dirk for a second? But we're not going to pray, oh God, please do this or that in Dirk. We're going to say, Dirk, we just speak this over you. Can we do that together? This is just kind of practice, is what we're doing. Okay. You don't need to say another word. We're going to have to hear the Lord and get creative here, all right? Who can help out by going first? You just want to make some statements or declarations over Dirk. Do I have somebody who wants to say, I'm going first? Okay. That's right. That's right. Somebody else wanted to say make some declarations, some positive prayers over Dirk. Is it Derek or Dirk? Dirk. Okay. The peace of God, we just declare over Dirk in Jesus' name. We say, Dirk, be at peace. We say, Dirk, according to the earlier prayer, Dirk, know your purpose. And we say, Dirk, be a source of life instead of pain in the lives of others. Okay? Somebody else? That's right. That's right. We say, Dirk, I'm just mirroring what this gentleman has prayed. We say, Dirk, you consider others higher than yourself. And you have a sensitivity for the needs and difficulties and problems and hurts in others. We say, Dirk, you look at others before you look at yourself. Okay, now. That's right. That's right. All right. She just prayed the word for us, okay? And you can do that. All right? The word is full of stuff that you can declare and proclaim. All right. Now, sister, when someday in the future, Lord, would you just show her some changes? And then would you just be able to, I just want you to testify in this group and say, you know that time we prayed for Dirk? Well, I just got this word. Anyway, you just testify someday, okay? All right, that was practice. We just practiced together, but y'all did a great job. You will never go wrong if you pray the word. Okay, Sister Cheryl, we're done. Thank y'all. Be sure you know how to work your recording on your phone in 2 weeks. Okay?
Thank you for sharing that. It's always good to be reminded. Amen. I think the thing that really came out